is from Psalm 38. It's a prayer of a suffering sinner. It's a Psalm of David for remembrance. Lord, do not punish me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has pressed me down, and pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my body because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have flooded over my head. They are a burden too heavy for me to bear. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am bent over and brought very low. All day long I go around in mourning. For my insides are full of burning pain, and there is no soundness in my body. I am faint and severely crushed. I groan because of the anguish of my heart. Lord, my every desire is in front of you. My sighting is not hidden from you. My hearing, my heart races, my strength leaves me, and even the light of my eyes has faded. My loved ones and friends stand back from my affliction, and my relatives stand at a distance. Those who intend to kill me set traps, and those who want to harm me threaten to destroy me. They ploy treachery all day long. I am like a deaf person. I do not hear. I am like a speechless person who does not open his mouth. I am like a man who does not hear and has no arguments in his mouth. For I put my hope in you, Lord. You will answer me, my Lord and my God. For I said, don't let them rejoice over me, those who are arrogant toward me when I stumble. For I am about to fall, and my pain is constantly with me. So I confess my iniquity. I am anxious because of my sin. My enemies are vigorous and powerful. Many hate me for no reason. Those who repay evil for good attack me for pursuing good. Lord, do not abandon me. My God, do not be far from me. Hurry to help me, my Lord and my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Let's pray together. Almighty Father, we rejoice this morning in the opportunity that we have to gather here in your name. And Father, as we gather to open your word, we ask you to speak to us from your word this morning, that our hearts and our minds might be opened to receive the message that you have for us. As we pray, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Stand and turn to page 347. Tell it to Jesus. We're going to begin verses 1, 2, and 4.
Jesus alone.
let's stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.
This morning to present this offering to you, Lord, we ask that you would accept it, Father, as we give it with a cheerful heart, that it might be used for the folks of your kingdom's work. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's turn to page. Oh, there must take a seat. Change plan.
Oh, Saved, you have to do this, 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 and this.
when Paul says all you have to do is believe and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are saved by faith. But then he also battles what's known as license. There were some who were saying, okay, that's fine. If all I have to do to believe and to be a Christian is to follow Jesus and believe on Jesus, and that's it, then that means I can go out and live my life any way I want to live. And Paul says that is total nonsense. And he says if that's what you believe, then you have no concept of what the gospel really is, of what it means to truly be saved. And Paul points out that when we are saved by grace, how many of you here deserve grace? How many of you here deserve mercy? None of us. And Paul says you've been shown mercy, you have been given grace by God. That should motivate me to say, I will obey. You see, God says, I will call out, there will be a people. And my law will no longer be written on tablets of stone, but when they believe on me, it will be written on their hearts. And we believe because we've been saved. We obey because we've been saved. And then Paul begins to talk about walking in the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. What does that look like? When we talk about walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, what does that look like? And then Paul goes on to explain some things and says, here's some pictures of what that looks like. He says, number one, he says, and we talked about this last week, he says, if you know of a brother or sister that has fallen into a sin, he said, reach down, pick them up. Restore them, because you need to understand that could very easily be you. Walking in the Spirit means that I understand that we are all fallible, that we all have sin in our lives, we all have sin in our hearts. And as we said last week, I want you to imagine the worst sinner you have ever known. You know who that is? That's me. That's you too, by the way. But the worst sinner I have ever known is standing right here in front of you. As Paul, I can say like Paul, I am the chief of sinners. And there resides in me, and I hate this, there resides in me no good thing but Christ. And so Paul says, One of the signs of walking in the Spirit, and he talked about the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And we talked about how when you look at the deeds of the flesh, and we'll read those again here in a minute. But Paul says, and I told you that when you look at the deeds of the flesh that Paul talks about there, let's go ahead and read them. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Every single one of us in this room have at one time committed at least one, if not all, of these sins right here. Okay? So Paul is not saying that if we commit one of these sins, that we're not saved. But he is saying that if my life is characterized by these deeds, if I practice these in my life, then that means that I am walking according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. All right? So Paul is talking about, you know, and he talked about walking in the Spirit, and I believe he's still talking about that as we pick up there in verse 7. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. How many of you here like to grow a garden? I do. You know, I planted a little garden this year. I've got a couple of tomatoes, and I planted me two rows of okra. Because I love okra, Kathy. The okra only got about that tall. And I thought, well, something's wrong with it. Something's wrong with that okra. I've never seen okra like that before. And it had nothing on it. Everybody else is just pouring in with okra, and mine is nothing. So I thought here a couple of weeks ago, I said, well, you know, I might as well just pull them on up because I either planted too late, there's something wrong with the seed or what. I don't know what it was. And then I walked out there the other day, and lo and behold, there's okra all over my plants. And that just shocked me. But when I was preparing this message, I was reminded of that. Number one, planting a garden is subject to a law called sowing and reaping in the physical realm. Whatever you plant, that's what you're going to grow. It's a fixed law. It cannot be changed. If you plant tomatoes, you're not going to get cucumbers. If you plant okra, you're not going to get corn. Whatever you plant is what is going to grow. And Paul talks about the seeds of destruction. The principle of sowing and reaping is true spiritually as well as it is agriculturally. In Job chapter 4 and verse 8, Job says, as I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Do you know how much our culture needs to hear those words right there?
That's right.
As I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. In contrast, in these verses, the contrast here is between sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit. And we need to understand, as Paul has already told us, there resides within us that old man, the flesh. But the Spirit of God also resides there. And these two are at enmity with one another. There is a constant war going on between these two. And we need to understand something that we have forgotten. Actions have consequences.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yep.
Actions have consequences. We have to bear the responsibility for our own behavior. Do you know that what's going on in our country right now is basically a group of people who are saying, everything in my life is your fault. We live in a not my fault world, is where we live. And Paul is saying to the church in Galatia, because now they weren't facing the same kind of troubles, but we're going to see that this all relates back to trying to live by the law and be a Christian. Okay? You can't do that. Your actions have consequences. And Paul says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap judgment, but sowing to the Spirit brings eternal life. You and I as believers, we struggle with the flesh. And I have said this, and I want you to understand, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we still struggle with sin. But do you know what the key word right there is?
Struggle.
If you don't struggle with sin, there's a problem. We struggle with sin. It means that there's a battle going on. There's a fight going on. And we must mortify the flesh. That is, we must put it to death. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him take up his cross. What is a cross for? Crucifixion. What happens when you're crucified? You die. You die. And Paul says that we must put our flesh to death. Instead of crucifying our sinful nature, instead of crucifying their sinful nature, the Galatians, they were coddling their sinful nature. We have been guilty of doing the same thing. We make excuses for our sins. We sometimes have this idea that we can do things and get by with it. I love what Bobby Bachman, a great preacher out there, he said, God slain his son, and yet you think he's going to let you slide. He who did not spare his own son, but instead of crucifying our sinful nature, we coddle it. We try to hold on to it. Today we make excuses for our sins. And we say, well, you know, you have to get with the times. This might have been looked at as sinful in the past, but today it's not. And can I tell you something? If God said 1 million years ago that something was sin, then 10 million years from now it will still be sin. It will never change. When God says it's sin, it's sin. And these Galatians, they were coddling their fleshly nature. Because you see, they wanted to keep the law in order to be saved, because then they could say, look at me. I'm good. Look what I've done. And many of us, we like to say, you know, I am saved because I did something. That's boasting. You know what Paul says is going to happen to boasting? It's going to go away. He says, you will have no reason to boast before God. And we will stand before God, and one day we will all stand before Him. And if you are saved, you will stand there in Christ or not at all. And if you stand there in Christ, the only thing you can say is, not I am here because I did, but I am here because He did. And that's the only reason we can do it. And Paul says, be careful. You know, some in the church in Galatia and some here, they were given into the passions of the flesh, committing the very sins that Paul warns about there in chapter 5. And today we have begun to ignore these things. We have begun to make excuses for the deeds of the flesh. But Paul is very clear. He says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap death. That's the only thing. Sowing to the flesh is very destructive. There in verse 8, he says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. That word corruption suggests a gradual decay. It's a slow process. Almost like the decomposition of a corpse. See, when you do these things, you don't notice right away what it's doing to you. And did you know that you know, we look at these sins that Paul mentions here, the deeds of the flesh, and we say, oh, I would do anything I could to never practice those kind of things in my life. But did you know that these things right here, sin, not only affects you spiritually, it affects you physically. But did you know that there are other things like worry? Did you know that's sinful? Did you know worry is a sin? Anybody here ever done that? Let me ask you a question. All right. First of all, how many of you here have ever worried about something? Okay, raise your hand. Okay, now I want you to raise your hand if you're worried and never change that situation. Did it?
It brainstormed okay, but it didn't really.
That's right, it didn't help. But you want me to tell you what it did do? It affected you physically. Because that's what sin does. It affects us physically. And you realize that worry is basically saying, God, I don't trust you. That's basically what worry does. When He said, your mind, I will take care of your every need. And when I have a need and I begin to worry and I begin to fret and I begin to lose sleep over this, and I'm basically saying, God, hey, I don't think you got this. That's what we're saying. So we need to understand we reap what we sow. And since sin is harmful to the body as it is to the soul, this decay is both physical and spiritual. And in the end, living for sinful pleasure yields the miserable harvest of eternal death, is what Paul says. We always, always reap what we sow. Do you agree with that? We reap what we sow. We need to learn this. We need to learn what Paul says here. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. We are warned. Do not be deceived. You see, these Galatians, they were being led astray to think that they could please God by keeping the law. And let me tell you something. If you can please God by anything you do, then you don't need Jesus. And if you don't need Jesus, he died needlessly. But is that true? Absolutely not. We do need him. And these Galatians, they were, we, like them, can be led astray. We can mock God by saying Jesus was not enough. The cross was not satisfactory. There on the cross, when Jesus said, "It is finished," it wasn't. If I believe, I have to do something in order to be saved other than believe on Jesus Christ. And Paul says, don't be deceived. We believe the lie that we can do whatever we want without being held accountable. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to just do anything you want to do without any consequences? No, it wouldn't. It sounds like it would, but in the end, it is not. You know, it's a wonderful thing that when we get saved, that God forgives all our sin, past, present, and future. All our sins, the penalty for our sins has been paid. Jesus paid it all. But it's also just a wonderful thing that God left us our consequences. That he says, you will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. Paul says, don't be deceived. What's he talking about? What can deceive us? How can I be deceived? Who is the number one person that deceives us? Oh. Me. Politicians. Look, somebody said the same thing. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. I told you last week, you should never, ever trust what you tell yourself. You should never, ever trust your feelings, because you will lie to yourself. You will deceive yourself. You want me to tell you how that works? You're faced with a temptation. So you have a conversation with yourself. Well, there's nobody here but me. Nobody will ever know. So you give in. You know what you've just done? You just lied to yourself. Because were you there alone? Absolutely not. Is there anyone else who knows? You know, I love what J. Vernon McGee says. He says, always remember that a secret sin on earth is an open scandal in heaven. Because all of heaven knows it. And Paul says, don't be deceived. Don't try to mock God by thinking you can get by with what he has said you cannot get by. Okay? So we deceive ourselves. Now we do also, Satan is called the deceiver, and he will deceive us. That's what he does. So we have to be careful. And make no mistake that God is not mocked. We cannot despise God by doing whatever we want. As a matter of fact, I want to read to you in Romans chapter 2 what the Apostle Paul says. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Paul says, he will render to each one according to his works. To those who got patience in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Paul is saying the same thing there that he's saying here in Galatians, that you reap what you sow. And one day, we will reap what we sow. And if we sow to our sinful nature, we will sow, reap destruction. So I asked you this morning, as you go back and you look here in chapter 5, when Paul talks about the deeds of the flesh, do any of those characterize your life? I'm not saying have you ever committed one of those sins. We all have. What I mean is, do you practice that? But then look at the fruit of the Spirit. You see, it works the same way. Does the fruit of the Spirit characterize your life? Do you sow love? Do you sow patience? What's going to happen when you sow love? You're going to reap love. What's going to happen when you sow drunkenness? We're going to reap drunkenness. Whatever we sow is what we reap. God cannot be mocked. And the lost who are sowing to the flesh, and Christians who are sowing to the flesh, the believer who is sowing to the flesh, you will reap the disciplining hand of God. Hey, I can attest to that firsthand. We will reap the discipline of God Himself. And He, the writer to the Hebrews, he tells us in 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But if we sow to the flesh, that is exactly what will happen. But thankfully, the seeds of destruction are not the only seeds that we can sow. We can sow to the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit means following the Spirit's lead, obeying His instructions for holy living. It means living for God's pleasure rather than my own. That's the kicker right there. We, everything that we do throughout our day, every day of our life, has one person at the center of it. Me. And Paul says, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you must die to yourself. We must put the flesh to death. And then everything in my life, every day of my life, should have God at the center of it. I want to do this, but God says, I want you to do this. And I say, okay, I'll do yours. Because you're my God. We must follow. The Holy Spirit is given to us to make us holy, to make us like Christ. And part of that involves me living to please God, not myself. That's part of walking in the Spirit. You want to know whether you're walking in the Spirit, whether you're living in the Spirit? I want you to look at your life and tell me, who do you seek to please every day of your life the most, you or God? And that will tell you. That is a great indication of where you are walking. But I want you to notice the law of sowing and reaping. We already talked about one of them. You will reap exactly what you sow. Exactly. And as I said, if you plant tomatoes, you're going to get tomatoes. If you plant corn, you're going to get corn. Not only do you reap exactly what you sow, you reap later than you sow. You see, I was ready to give up on that okra. I was getting impatient. But there it is. Growing okra. I can't wait that fried okra. There's two ways to eat okra, fried and ruined. So, you always reap later. You can't go out there and plant a seed and the next day go out and expect to see it grow. Not going to happen. There's got to be sun. There's got to be water, rain, whatever. But it takes time. You reap exactly what you sow, and you always reap later than you sow. Somebody one time said, I wonder what would happen if the wages of sin were paid immediately. What is the wage of sin, by the way? Death. But it's not paid immediately. We always reap exactly what we sow, and we reap later than we sow. Here's the third law. This is the one that nobody likes, unless you're talking about food. You always reap more than you sow. You reap exactly what you sow, you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. You can plant one little seed of corn in the ground, which will grow a stalk, and you will get more than one ear off of that. You always get more than what you sow. And that's true in our lives. We go throughout, how many sins in our early life. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would love to go back to your 20-year-old self and tell them something? When I was preparing this, I thought about that, and so I stopped and I said, now what would I say to 20-year-old Bobby Baker? And I thought, man, I hope I got plenty of time, because there's a lot. But we can't do that. And the sins that I cultivated at 20 years old, paying for today. I'll tell you one thing. My wife's going to love this. I'll tell you one thing that I would tell him above all else. Eat better.
Amen.
Huh? I did. Eat better. I mean, for years, I've been a junk food junkie. I mean, I love 7-Eleven hot dogs. I love Whataburger. I mean, it's the food of angels. But you know what? Today, at 57 years old, I'm starting to pay the price. And I wish I'd known better. That's the physical aspect of not eating right. But you know what else I would tell my 20-year-old self? Get in that Bible.
Amen.
Get in that Bible. Read it. Obey it. Live it. Today, I suffer the consequences for not having done that early in my life. And Paul says, you're going to reap exactly what you sow. You're going to reap it later than you sow. And you're going to reap it more than you sow. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Paul says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now there he's talking about giving. You know, when you give, if you give sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. But the point that he's really trying to make is this. Whatever you put in is what you're going to get out. You know, what if I planted a garden, but I just let the weeds grow up all around it and never did anything about it? What if I just let the bugs get all over the plants and never tried to keep them off of it? My garden's not going to do very good. It takes work. It must be cultivated. You must get the weeds out. What are we sowing? Deeds of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? And there in verse 9 and 10, Paul says, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, that's the later part, in due season, we will reap if we don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, I don't want you to mention Paul's phrasing there, as we have opportunity. You know what that means? Let me tell you about another sin we're all guilty of, called procrastination. I'll tell you later what that means. Come on. Procrastination. Paul says, as we have opportunity. When do we have opportunity? Right now. Right now we have opportunity. Sowing can be hard work. We must have patience. We've been talking about for a month now about how I feel the Lord is leading us to go into this community with the gospel. And I told you here a while back, a couple of Sundays ago, that we need to begin to pray. You know, we've been studying on prayer for several months on Wednesday nights and on Sunday nights. We've been talking about prayer. And I told you, it's time for us to get serious, to begin to pray for this community. It's time to start plowing the field. Like an old preacher said, before you go to sowing the seed, you got to plow the field. Prayer is plowing the field. And it's hard work. We must be ready that when we're tempted to give up, You see, one thing that we all have in common, you know, I used to love to go to the gym and work out. Believe it or not, I used to love to do that. But the last time I did that, I went 3 or 4 weeks and I didn't see any results, so I quit. We all are guilty of doing that. We start to do something, and if we don't see immediate results, then we say, okay, fine, forget it. We move on to something else. We cannot do that when it comes to walking in the Spirit and to sowing and reaping. The harvest will come for those who work and do not give up. You know what I need to hear from you as your pastor? I need to hear you say, I'm here and I'm ready to work. We will not give up. No matter what opposition we face, no matter how long it takes, we will not give up. We must keep sowing the seeds. Revelation chapter 22. Last chapter in the Bible. Jesus says, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he's done. You see, one day, he's going to reward us for our hard work. If we work and don't give up, we must continue to love one another. We must continue to encourage one another. We must continue to be there for one another. You know, early in my life, I was following down a path that was not good. A path of alcoholism and womanizing and all these things. And I remember one time, I'll never forget this. I was probably about 16 years old when I overheard a conversation. I heard one of my aunts tell my grandmother, you need to quit praying for him. He's too far gone. He's just like his daddy. Just leave him alone. And my grandmother said, no, I will not. And I'm glad she did not. Do you know anybody that you are praying for and you say, you know, they're just too far gone. You might as well leave them alone. Just forget about it. Is there anyone beyond the reach of God's hand? Is there anyone the grace of God cannot save? No, there's not. We need to keep on. What kind of seeds are you sowing? When we are engaged in our everyday conversations and our everyday lives, when people look at us, do they look at you and see a life of sexual immorality? Of impurity, of sensuality, of idolatry, of sorcery? By the way, you know that word sorcery is drugs. Enmity. Strife. Do they see you as an extremely jealous person with fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envies, drunkenness, orgies? Is that the kind of person they see you as? Or when they meet you, do they say, you know, old James, he's a really loving person. He loves without borders. Oh, Dennis, he just has such joy in his life all the time. And Connie, she's self-controlled. Do these things characterize your life? Do you not have joy that characterizes your life? Are you not self-controlled? Do you not love? Because Paul says if that's what you're sowing, that's what you're going to reap. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we will bear that fruit. We don't produce that fruit. The Spirit produces it, but we will bear that fruit if we're walking in the Spirit. But you can look at the fruit. What kind of fruit's hanging on your tree? Is it bad fruit or good fruit? It's just that simple. What kind of seeds are you sowing in the people that you come in contact with every day? Do you realize that our number one priority is to preach the gospel to everybody, to the glory of God. Okay? You all agree with that, right? If they see you as a person who's a drunkard, or if they see you as a person who has fits of anger, if they see you as a person who has excessive jealousy, envying in your life, you want me to tell you how much good you're going to do trying to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ? None. But if they see us as a person full of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, self-control, and we tell them about this Christ who will save them if they will believe, because He is love. He gives joy. He gives peace. It'll make things a whole lot easier for ourselves. What are we planting? That's what we need to be sure of. Let's pray. Father, oh God, as we come this morning, Lord, examine us. Search our hearts. See if there be any wicked way in us. May we be diligent to live a life cultivating good fruit in our life, planting good seed, being careful to work the ground, to plow the fields, to keep the weeds out, to stay in your word, to spend time in prayer, to be obedient to your word, obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, that we might truly be walking in the Spirit. Or is walking in the Spirit, Father, it is reaping, sowing the good seed where we reap eternal life. So Lord, speak to us this morning. Search our hearts. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that does not know Jesus Christ, if they're trusting in anything in their lives other than the finished work of Christ, that Father, that they would see that it is sin. Father, if there's maybe one here that's not saved, they've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that your Holy Spirit at this moment would convict them of their hearts, that they would see the sin in their life and their need of a Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand. We turn to page 449, To God Be the Glory.
Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice.
has done, and greater rejoicing than Jesus the Son. But further and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Well, thank you all for being here this morning. I pray that the Lord will bless you for being here in his house. Would like to tell you that if you are here this morning and you have questions in your life about where you are with the Lord, come see me after the service with one of the elders and we can talk about that. All right? Remember, our service is this evening at 5 o'clock as we continue talking in our corporate prayer time and talking about prayer, studying on that. Wednesday night, our Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock as we continue to look at the video series that I'm over on the Lord's Prayer, which, by the way, has been very eye-opening for me. I don't know about some of the rest of you, but it made me look at the Lord's Prayer completely differently. You know, right? 10 a.m. Bible study, Son of David by Nancy Guthrie. That's at 10 a.m. Tuesday morning for the ladies that would like to come for that. Is there any other announcements? Anything I'm forgetting? All right. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.